We are in Tivot Shalom on Bein HaMitzarim on the 3 weeks. It appears in the back of the Chelak on Bamidbar on page Kuf Tzadi. Kuf Tzadi, the first piece on the 3 weeks, Bein HaMitzarim. Mashmaut HaAvelut HaHishtokekut VaGa'aguim. What's the meaning of how do we understand the Avelus of this time of the year, the Ishtokekut, the desire of this time of the year, the yearning of this time of the year? How do we understand this time of the year of Bein HaMitzarim, between the streets, between Shvas Arba Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, this time of the 3 weeks? Says the Nisivo Shalom, Chazal Amru, Shoalin V'Dorshin B'Yolchot Tamo'ed. Chazal say that we should be doresh, that we should be shol, we should learn and we should ask about and we should engage in the halachas of the time of the year that we're in whenever we're in that time of year. V'Nichlal Bazeh, שבכל זמן מיוחד אצל יהודי צריך ללמוד ולהתעמק מה משמעותו והנצחיות שבו. And included within this is, that in every time of the year, by a Jew, we need to learn and to go deep into what the essence, the eternal essence of this time is about. Right, when we're in the time of Pesach, to understand what is man chayrutenu, what is freedom really? How does that relate to what happened to the Jewish people back then? But how does that relate to freedom in my life right now? Or it's Man Matan Torahtenu. What's the new reality of Torah that we're acquiring at that time of the year? And so too, here in Bein HaMitzarim, what's the essence of the Zman? What are we supposed to be getting into? What are we supposed to be living and experiencing? We have to understand this concept of the Avelus of the mourning that we have over the Chorban during this time of Bein HaMitzarim of the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av. By every single time of the year, by Jews, every single Chag is eternal. What's the purpose? What's the goal of these days? It can't be the simple meaning of the fact that we're just an avelus about something which happened, about the Beit HaMikdash which we had and we no longer have. Shekein Am Yisrael eno shomer al zichronot shel avar ba'alma im lo shem kshurim lehove ulatid. Because Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing as a commemoration or a remembrance in Halachic Judaism. It doesn't exist. There's no remembrance. When we have a time in the year, when we experience time of the year, again, like we said before, it's not just in Pesach that we're remembering the time that we left Egypt. What is the freedom that I'm experiencing right now? What is the chayrus that I'm experiencing right now? In Shavuot, what's the Matan Torah that I'm experiencing right now? In Hanukkah, what is the light that I'm experiencing right now? So what does it mean? What's the avelus that we're experiencing right now? It's not what we're remembering. It's not that we're commemorating. It's not that we're looking back on the Chorban and remembering the Chorban. What does it mean? What's the nature of the avelus that I'm meant to experience right now in Bein HaMitzarim? Ukvar amru Chazal said, Gazra al hamit sheishtakeach min alev sheneemar nishkachti kemeit milev. Aval kan katuv im eshkachich Yushalayim tishkach yimini. Ki Yushalayim hi davar chai she'en hashikacha sholetet bo. That Chazal tell us that at a certain point, when a person loses a loved one, so there comes a point where they're able to move on. Where again, that there always is that sense of loss in the person's life. There always is that sadness in the person's life, but there's a point where a person needs to move on in life despite that loss, despite missing that person that's no longer with them. Aval kan katuv, but by here it says by Yerushalayim, im eshkachich Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, that we can never forget Yerushalayim. There's no concept of shichacha by Yerushalayim. Ki Yerushalayim hi davar chai, Yerushalayim is alive. She'ena shichacha sholetet bo, there's no forgetting by Yerushalayim. Lachim meshkachech Yerushalayim dahainu she'er'e utcha ki davar she'avad, if we forget Yerushalayim, meaning, if we look at it as something like what's already lost, ve'enenu chasholam, it's not with us anymore. Tishkach yimini. So how do we understand this? Next paragraph. V'yish l'va'er zot, sh'amashma'ut shel ha'avelut al Beit HaMikdash, hi'i ashlama im chorbano u'tshuka levinyano. That the concept, the idea, the reality, the meaning of the avelus, of the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, which we're experiencing right now, that we're meant to be engaging in right now, that we're meant to be bringing into our lives right now, it's a lack of hashlama. It's a lack of completion. We're not complete. We're lacking something in our very existence because of the Chorban HaBayit and the tshuka we have, the desire we have for the rebuilt Beit HaMikdash. She Yisrael einam mashlimim l'rega echad im ze shebeit hamikdash charev. Because we as Klal Yisrael are not whole. Not for a second. We're never whole. Until the Beit HaMikdash comes back. As long as the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, we can't be whole. V'tamid heim ma'alim et zikrono alibam. Top of the next column. And we always have this remembrance in our hearts. Top of the next column. U'mishtokakim u'mitzapim matayi ba'ane Beit HaMikdash. And we're always longing and gazing, when is the Beit HaMikdash going to be rebuilt? Al derech ma'amar Maran HaKadosh Mikuvrin, like the Maran Mikuvrin says, the worst thing that there is that in a person's life is when a person becomes complacent. The worst thing in a person's life is when a person looks around and says, I'm happy with the status quo. We're Jews. Jews are always working for more. We're always fighting for more. The classic line is such a deep concept. That Jews understand, we're not here in Olam Hazeh to be. We're not here to be. We're here to become. And so the entire reality of Olam Hazeh is a fight to become, is a fight to be more, is a fight to attain more, is a fight to achieve more. Olam Hazeh is simply a means to an end. And so therefore when we exist in Olam Hazeh means that it's lacking by definition. And certainly when we can viscerally feel the lacking of the Beis HaMikdash and a rebuilt Yerushalayim, it's a lacking that we feel and we can't be content with the status quo. We look around us, so much of the Jewish people in so many places in the world, we're content with the status quo. Yeah, okay, Beseder, I wish I was in Yerushalayim, I wish we had Mashiach, I wish we had the Beis HaMikdash, but also, I've got my nice house where I am in Chutz La'aretz, I'm set up where I am, I've set up my home, maybe I'm still single, maybe I'm married, I've already got all my pictures on the wall where I want them, I've got the kitchen that I've always dreamed of, I've got everything set up the way that I wanted to, I've got enough kids' rooms that I can have more kids, that it's already set up, and I also have a guest room, I've got a good job, I've got my husband's got a good job, my wife's got a good job, everything's set up. Listen, I daven, I learn, I'm growing as best I can. So Beseder, if this is the way it has to be, at least I'm engaged in Avodas Hashem and Olam Hazeh, what could be more? The answer is no, there can always be more. We always need to strive for more. We can't become complacent. We can't become content. And that's talking about Chutz La'aretz. Us as B'nai Eretz Yisrael, we're not off the hook, Elior. We're not off the hook just because we're in Eretz Yisrael. That's not sufficient. That's not enough. Meaning also in Eretz Yisrael. My Rebbe talks about this. That if the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt, then we live in this weird reality. Where yes, there's the beauty of the fact that we see a return to Eretz Yisrael like we've never seen in the history of the last 2,000 years. There's a tremendous return to Eretz Yisrael. Whether it's the people coming for Shana Ba'aretz, for Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, people coming to spend a year here, Stam, people coming to live here, like people who made Aliyah. People in the Zoom who made Aliyah. So on the one hand, there's amazing, but if we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, there's a reality of Golos and Geula. There's still a reality, we're still in a reality of Golos, even in Geula. There's a reality of Golos even in Eretz Yisrael. And it's okay to say that. We have to be real. We have to live with the reality of what we have. And Dafka, in this time of year, in Ben HaMitzarim, we have to say, I'm overjoyed that I'm living in Chutz La'aretz, a life of Avodas Hashem. But I have to strive for more to get to Eretz Yisrael. I have to strive for more to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, for yearn for the Geula, to yearn for the Mashiach. And even if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, to still also yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, to yearn for rebuilt Yerushalayim. To be able to, so many Jews asking, do we have to have Tisha B'Av if we're already here in Eretz Yisrael? Of course we do. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're not living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not living with HaKadosh HaKadoshim. We're not bringing Korbanos. We're not hearing the songs of the Levim. We're not seeing the Korban Tamid. We're not feeling the Hashraz HaShechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu living with us in a way like only exists with the Beis HaMikdash. We're not there yet. And we can never, ever, ever be content with the status quo. I just went to a shir. I'm starting to connect to the Pilsner over here of Gerzi. And he was talking about that part of what this time of the year is about is to feel discomfort. And to understand and to become comfortable with feeling that discomfort. To not shy away from that discomfort. To then also move into Elul and Tishrei and then understand when the discomfort goes away and move into a whole section of the year. See, there's a whole different twist that he was giving over there. But he talked about over Shabbos, to be able to feel the discomfort and to live with the discomfort. And it's okay for us to do that. And it's important for us to do that. To say we're not there yet. We live in a generation where giving mussar is a very dangerous thing. A person gives a little bit of mussar and somebody says, okay, I'm going to throw away Judaism. I don't want to hear from this if you're going to give me mussar. It's not mussar for the sake of mussar. It's saying, yeah, we as a Klal Yisrael, all of us, we need to strive for more. if we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? There's more mitzvot to be done. There's more tefillas to be said. There's more crying to be done. There's more tehillim to be screeched. And hopefully there aren't more kinos to be said. Hopefully we'll see the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash before Tisha B'Av comes this year. But if there is a Tisha B'Av, to cry with the kinos, to cry with Eicha, to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, to recognize we're not yet Shalem, to not be content, to realize that there's something missing in my reality as a Jew, that nationally we don't have that Beit HaMikdash, we don't have rebuilt Yerushalayim, and inside, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, that there's a Mishkan inside of me, there's a Beit HaMikdash inside of me, and that Beit HaMikdash isn't fully built either. There's a Chorban there also. That's part of where it comes from. And that I need to focus and cry that my inner Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt. That there are stones missing in my inner Beis HaMikdash. That there isn't duchening in my inner Beis HaMikdash. That the Leviim aren't singing in my inner Beis HaMikdash. That maybe I'm not bringing my Korban Tamid every day. And I'm not bringing my Korban Musafim when I'm supposed to be. That's not complete. I'm not whole. Without the Beit HaMikdash, without the bite of Kedusha, without Kedusha and the Shechina bringing that Kedusha in its fullest extent. Yes, HaShulcheini Tam B'toch Tumotam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shore with us even in our Tum'ah, even in our Galut. It's 100% true. But that doesn't mean we're not in Galut. It doesn't mean there's not Tum'ah. That there's still Tum'ah, there's still Galus there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, but we want the full, complete reality of His presence. And if we don't have that, we have to yearn for that. That's what we're doing in this time of the year. To recognize that lacking and to yearn for that fulfillment. And so that's what he's saying here. The Rav Mikovrin says, those who joined were in the top of the second column, second line. Shagarua biyotiru kasher mashlimim im ha'atzav kimotshu. The worst thing is when we're complacent with the matzav, with the situation as it stands. V'chein ha'asol ha'gadol biyotiru kasher yehudi mashlim she'afshar l'chiyot gam b'beit ha'mikdash. And you know, the worst thing that could be is when a Jew gets to a place where they say, okay, you know what? I can live without a Beis HaMikdash. No, I'm living despite the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. It's a nace that I'm living despite the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. But if I'm a Jew, I need there to be a Beis HaMikdash. And I'm not complete without a Beis HaMikdash. And even though I might be too weak, I wish I could get up every night at Chatzot and do Tikkun Chatzos and cry for the Beis HaMikdash. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I wish I could. I cry that I can't cry every night at midnight. Because I don't have a Beis HaMikdash yet. And I'm going to get up and daven shachris tomorrow. And I'm going to learn tomorrow. And I'm going to do chesed tomorrow. And I'm going to chanech my children tomorrow. And all the things I'm going to do tomorrow, true. But I'm going to cry also that I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Then I'm going to cry. I'm going to remember that we don't just say Shir HaMaalos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But I'm going to remember to say Al Naros Bavel. Because I'm not complete. I'm gonna recognize and internalize in a wedding when we sing Imeshkachich and that glass gets broken. I'm gonna recognize those moments to look into the fact that I'm mekayim the reality that I don't have a Beis HaMikdash and I'm yearning for a Beis HaMikdash. And during these 3 weeks, that's what I'm gonna do. That's what I'm gonna do. And it's hard, and everybody has their own way of getting into it. Whatever the reality that keys you into that in this time of year is. For me, it's playing a cappella. Every time I hear a cappella, it's so painful to me because I dislike a cappella that it's mamish akiyum of the Chorban for me. It reminds, but it's like it cycles in my mind and reminds me that I need to remember that there's no Beis HaMikdash. I for a while I was dafka just not listening to music, but now I dafka listen to a cappella. First of all, because you're still hearing beautiful words of Torah, and some of them have amazing, amazing, amazing voices, incredible talent. They're just not my type of music. Incredible, incredible talent in some of these people, and to listen to the words and to the songs that remind us of the Chorban or dafka in the Inyan of the Zman. But also for me, it's a little bit of dafka remembering. There isn't the music that I like right now. It's bringing out, however we can, a little bit of a reality of Korban. A little bit of a reality of Korban. There's a story of the Rav Mi'apta. Shenichnas elav yudi v'tinelefanav et kol tzarotav. That there was this Jew who went in front of him, and he told him all the tzaras that he had. And it seemed like he wasn't connecting to him in his tzar. Umayim ze shelo hikrivu ayom et korban atzamin, al ze incha doekla. Meaning he comes and he tells him all the tzaras that he has. I'm having this difficulty and having trouble with parnasa and having shalos bias problems and chinuch with my kids and I'm not able to focus on my learning, and he's doing all these things. And he felt like the Rav Me'apta wasn't like, he didn't feel like he was totally connecting to him. He didn't feel like he was totally in the same space as he was. And the Rav Me'apta looked at him and he said, yeah, I'm not. You come to me and tell me all of your tzaras. You're coming here and telling me all of your tzaras. But the fact that we don't have a korban tamid, that wasn't on your list. Why isn't that on your list? That you don't concern about, the fact that we don't have a beis hamikdash, that's not on your list? We have to remember that has to be part of our list. That has to be top of our list. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, isn't shalim in this world. That we don't have a beis hamikdash in this world. That has to be on our list. That has to be part of what we think about. That has to be part of our reality. That if you don't have a beis hamikdash, that's part of what it's about. So that's what he's saying. Hainu shelo yish daaga hamikal av yoter mizeh. Liyudi asur lahashlim im chorban beit hamikdash. For a Jew, it's usher to be shulling with the chorban abayit. We can't just be okay with it. We can't be okay with the status quo. We can't say it's good enough. There's no good enough without a beis hamikdash. V'gimel pa'amim bayom mevakesh yehudi betfilah v'liushalayim yirecha v'rachamim tashuv. 3 times a day, we need to daven for everybody here except for me. For everybody here, at least twice a day, shachris and mincha, twice a day to daven v'liushalayim yirecha v'rachamim tashuv. We say the words. We're chayav to say the words, and so hopefully we are saying the words. And when we say those words, it's in our mouths. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please come back to Yerushalayim with rachamim. To arouse in our hearts that desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return. To arouse in our hearts the deep desire for the Beis HaMikdash to come back and to experience the full revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Binyan HaBayis. To bring that out. To stop there on that tefillah, davka during this time of year, but in all times of year. But davka during this time of year. V'lushalayim miracha, we're saying the words anyway. Shachris and mincha, shachris, mincha, and marv. We're saying the words anyway. But to more deeply stop, pause, reflect, take a few seconds. What does it mean that I'm asking for your shalayim? Think back to the trips that you may have taken as teenagers. Think back to your Shana Aleph. Think back to your first Tisha B'Av, after Shana Aleph, after Shana Bet. Think back to the times when you visited, when you were in college, when you were in graduate school. You visited for a week or for 2 weeks, and the feeling you felt when you got back on that plane and when you went home. For those who were here last year, I heard you crying in the airport when you had to leave your Shana Aleph early. Think of how you cried in that airport when you left your Shana Aleph early because of Corona. Think how you cried in your airport at the end of your Shana Aleph that didn't end early for you in the other years. Think how you cried when you went back home after you visited. Think of how you felt on the Tisha B'Av, the year you visited, when you couldn't remember why you felt so passionate about going back and you no longer could remember. Cry because you can't remember. Cry because you can't cry. To get into that reality. To recognize that you're missing something. That without it, you're not whole. Without it, I am not whole. Without Yerushalayim, without a built-up Yerushalayim, without the Beit HaMikdash, without Mashiach, without a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am not whole. And the easiest thing to do is to go on in life and say, okay, I can deal with that whole. I can deal with that emptiness. And the answer is no. We have that emptiness and that hole inside of us, so we can cry that it be filled. And to ignore that is to not seek complete self-fulfillment. Is to not seek complete national fulfillment. Is to not cry. Is to not cry for the Shechina that can't reveal itself in this world. To cry that I can't experience a union with that Shechina, like it could be revealed in this world. Uvimyuchad b'tfilot ha-musafim, and specifically in tfilot musaf that we have on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, Shel Gimel HaRegalim, on the 3 regalim, Shetocham Ratzuf Ishtokekut Ila'it Levinam Beit HaMikdash. That's all about this desire for the Beis HaMikdash. The whole Tfilas Musaf is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wish we had a Beis HaMikdash, but we sinned and we don't have it, and I wish I could bring the Korban Musaf, the special Korbanos that we have right now on this special day, this special day of Yom Tov, the special day of Shabbos. To get into that, to really understand the words, to say the words for real, to speak the words from my heart. Ezui avoda shebalev havi omer zot tefila. Tefila is avoda of the heart, to get my heart pumping, my heart worked up, and to really cry. You read the Yisod HaShor HaAvoda, he talks about, he goes through every tefillah, the deep kavanas that a person should have in every tefillah. It's a beautiful sefer, highly recommended if you can understand the Hebrew. It's simple Hebrew, but it's beautiful Hebrew. He just, the Yisod HaShor HaAvoda, he just goes on and on and on about every tefillah, what a person should really feel, what a person should think and feel. And every time he gets to Musaf, he says, you have to cry, you have to cry, you have to cry when you daven Musaf. When you say, because of our sins, we've been thrown out of our land and we're no longer there. If you're in Galus, you had to say that with Kavana. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to say that with the pneumis of the Galus that we're still experiencing. To mamish cry. He talks about it. To mamish cry when you say that. The term lip service, it couldn't be more relevant to tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want service of the lips. He wants service of the heart. Service of the lips is from the lips outward. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He's not interested in that. Anybody can parrot words. Anybody can speak Hebrew out of a sitter, can speak out of a transliterated sitter. You can find a way to say the words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu li babai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts. He wants us to feel it. He wants us to cry. He wants us to feel that lack. He wants us to feel that lacking in our hearts and to cry for it when we daven. Melech Rachaman, Rachem Aleinu, Shuva Aleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please return to us. Vayishtokikut hazot, hi bechinat shel korbanot. And this desire is like the korbanot itself. Okamo shekatuv Maran, Adoneinu, v'chulei. As the astronomer says, b'michtav, in one of his letters, ki ha-ga'aguim l'davar, him yotir g'dulim mi'etzem ha-davar. He says something so deep that we need to get into this. Because the yearning that we have for something is even greater than the thing itself. The feeling of yearning that I have is even greater than the essence of the thing itself. To have the Beis HaMikdash is one thing. To not have the Beis HaMikdash is another. To really dig deep and to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash. To cry for the Beis HaMikdash. To want the Beis HaMikdash from the depths of my kishkas. That's even bigger and greater than the reality and the essence of the Beis HaMikdash itself. That yearning for the Beis HaMikdash. Val yidezeh hu reshit binyan Beit HaMikdash. That's the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Asher nivne mikoach ha-ishtokekut shi-Yisrael mishtokachim begalut levinam Beis HaMikdash. The beginning, the first stones of the Beis HaMikdash, they form out of the desire and the yearning that we have for the Beis HaMikdash. That's the reality of those stones. The cornerstone of the rebuilt Beit HaMikdash. That comes from our desire, that comes from that yearning, that gives rise to the reality of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Shal yidei zeh, hei mamshichim et binyano b'mheira b'yaminu. B'mheira b'yaminu, amin. That through this, it brings forth the rebuilding itself. Kasher yudi sharoi b'tachlit ha-mirirut al ha-he'edar or ha-elokut. When a Jew feels the deep bitterness of the lacking of the light of God. Top of the next page. Sheha'ir b'beit ha-mikdash. When we feel that lacking of the light of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hu malei shtokekut lazeh. And we have that desire build up inside of us. Hareze misayeya l'binyan Beis HaMikdash. That in and of itself is what's going to help bring about the Beis HaMikdash. The desire and the yearning itself is what's going to bring out the Beis HaMikdash. And specifically in these 3 weeks of Bein HaMetzarim, Shabahem me'orerim klal Yisrael biyoter et ha-tshuka l'binyan Beit HaMikdash. Specifically during these weeks, the 3 weeks, where we're bringing out this deep desire, this yearning, we arouse in ourselves this yearning for the Beis HaMikdash to come back. V'alkein t'kufa zom. He be'etzem t'kufat ha'atkala shel binyan Beis HaMikdash. And so then you were waiting for it, because the Nesivos Shalom is always going to turn it on its head. What that means is, if this time is the time that we cry about the Beit HaMikdash, if this time is the time that we desire the Beis HaMikdash, if this time is the time that we bring out that yearning for the Beis HaMikdash, and if that yearning itself is what lays the foundation stones, then Bein HaMitzarim itself is the beginning of the Binyan. The 3 weeks itself is the beginning of the rebuilding. Right here, right now, if we're feeling that lacking, if we're feeling a little bit inside of ourselves that embarrassment, that until right now, the 3 weeks had started, and we didn't cry over the Beis HaMikdash, we feel embarrassed that we didn't get into the Chorban a little bit. We feel embarrassed that we didn't say V'Yerushalayim and Shachas with Kavanah today. That we didn't say it with a little bit of crying today. That we didn't say it from our Kishkas today. That beginning of that little bit of embarrassment. That little bit of sadness. When I said all those things, and we all remembered back to our Shana Aleph, and we remembered back to our first Tisha B'Av, and we really cried when we left Eretz Yisrael. When we really cried when we missed Yerushalayim. And we're starting to feel that well up. It's not just that we're remembering the Beis HaMikdash and crying for them, and we're fulfilling the 3 weeks. We're fulfilling the 3 weeks in that yearning, that yearning itself is beginning to lay those stones. The Binyan begins here, through our yearning for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the Chorban. We're starting that rebuilding right now. This is the beginning. That yearning is the beginning. That crying is the beginning. That desire and that need for the Beis HaMikdash, that's the beginning of the rebuilding itself. Umiklal mitzvot chovot alevavot amutelat al yudim. And one of the mitzvot, which is on a person, in the heart of a person, in the heart of a Jew, to be doing all the time, is to constantly strengthen within ourselves, to want, to yearn, to arouse in ourselves this tzipia, this yearning, this desire, this simon, this thirst, this unquenchable thirst for Mashiach, for the Beis HaMikdash, for Geula. That's part of what it means to be a Jew. It's part of what it means to live life as a Jew, to arouse in ourselves in our constant reality as a Jew. Uvimyuchad bayom zeh shel kra alai moed. And specifically now during the 3 weeks where it's the essence of the time. V'chol kamash yudi magbir et ha-hishtokekut va-gaguin shelo. And the extent that a person brings out and makes stronger that desire and that yearning, harezeh mikarev et ha-geula ha-klal v'et ha-geula ta-prat. Know that every single bit of yearning that we bring out inside of ourselves, we bring, each one of us, we bring one step closer, national geula and personal geula. Beginning of the next paragraph. Uvazeish leva'er atamisupar, shafilosof aflaton, I don't know who that is, but this philosopher, matzat Yirmiyahu anavi, mikonein, mikonein tamrurim al churban habayit, that this philosopher Afalton, that he found Yirmiyahu Anavi who was crying for the Beis HaMikdash. She was mamish, she was screaming out about the churban. V'achar shenochach lirot godel chochmato shel Yirmiyahu Anavi, when this philosopher saw how intelligent and how tremendous the mind was of Yirmiyahu Anavi, sha'al oto eich matim lachacham kemotcha livkot al ha'avar. He says, you're crazy. You're a philosopher. You're an intellect. It's not normal what you're doing. The emotions that you're showing over, first of all, to be so emotional. Number two is you're crying over something that was. You're crying over spilled milk. You're an intelligent person. You're a philosophical person. What value is there in crying on that which already occurred? It doesn't do anything. What's the value there? Harebi tamikdash karfar nisraf. It already burned. Veinenu, and it's not with us anymore. And the past is no longer with us. What value is there in your crying? V'amarlo Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu says back to the philosopher. And neni yachol la'ashiv lecha al she'ela zo, ki lo tavina tatshuva. He says to him, it's not shy. He says, listen, buddy. I'm happy to talk with you intellectual discourse. I'm here till tomorrow. But I'm not even going to try to answer the question. There's no way that I can answer this question in a way that you, a secular, non-Jewish, not Jewish person, philosopher is going to understand. You can't understand why I'm crying about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Orba said, what does this mean? Kamor shemashmauta avelut yashtokekut vahishtapchut nefesh. Because the avelus here is this yearning, this desire, this pouring out of my soul. And again, a person who's only a philosophical mind, and certainly a non-Jewish philosopher who's not connected to Ruchnius, you can't understand the value of pouring out your soul and yearning for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not something intellectual. It's not something which you can... I'm gonna say it. At this point, I mean, whatever. People know who I am and how I feel about things and where I'm coming from. I have a lot of trouble on Tisha B'Av. Going to these Tisha B'Av morning, to these kinos, where there are certain places, and again, it's good for you and nothing against you, and if you connect with this way, good for you, but it doesn't connect with me at all. Where you sit there and like people give these long drashot before every kina, and it's like explaining to you the chiastic structure and the historical background, and like, I'm sitting there going like, this is killing, like, I'm not an avilus for the Beis HaMikdash, I'm an avilus because like it's painful to sit here. Like I can't sit through it. I feel like, again, and if this is the type of thing that you do or you connect to it or for you because it intellectually brings about a connection to the Beis HaMikdash, kol hakavod. And I simply don't understand that because we're different people and everybody has a different avoda. But I don't understand it. Straight up, I don't understand it b'chlal. I sit there in those times, when I'm stuck in those, and I go to myself like, this isn't doing anything for me. We're supposed to be here saying these kinos because we're supposed to be crying, not to tell me about the historical context of the meaning of and the way that it's very beautiful. And maybe a person should learn about that during the 9 days. So that way when they come to Tisha B'Av and they say the kina and they dive in the kina, it will help them cry harder. That I understand. That I mamish understand. But I can't go to those kinos anymore. And if I can't find them, I'll sit them by myself. I can't sit in a room like that. It makes me crazy. It makes me go out of my mind. I can't do it. And the one time, so when I was hired to be the rabbinic intern of a shul, I say hired theoretically because there was no salary involved, but when I was hired to be the rabbinic intern of a shul for my training year, so the first gig that I had, remember, I had a lot of akaras tov to the shul that gave me the job and all of the things that they gave me, tremendous akaras tov to them. But the first thing they called me up and they said, no, you're supposed to start in Elul, but we have one minyan where we don't have coverage for Tisha B'Av morning, and the minyan that they gave me was the minyan for people who were going to go to work. And so it was the select kinos minyan. It was slightly later. It was like a normal time davening, not too late, not like the 9 o'clock, but it was like not the early, not the late davening. And it was select kinos. It was like 10 kinos. That was basically it. It was like 10 kinos. And I said, you know, they gave me the position, and it was a tremendous opportunity. So I said yes. I had to figure out. And I have to tell you, it was so meaningful. I sat there with a bunch of people who I knew. All they had was 10 kinos. And they were people who decided that even though they weren't going to go until chatzot at 1 o'clock, they were going to go, they wanted an hour of kinos. They said, no, I am going to go to work. I need to go to work. I have to go to work. I want to go to work. I feel like I, whatever the case was, these were Baal HaBatim who said, I am going to go to work, but I recognize it's Tisha B'Av, and I recognize that there's a value in kinos, and I'm giving an hour to kinos. And I sat there, and when I was preparing them, I sat there and I just wanted us to work together to feel each kina that we were going to say. To pull out the lines that would pull on the heartstrings to make us cry and yearn for Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. And there were people in that room, my first day on the job, which was before my first day on the job, who because of that experience where we sat together and we were real with each other, I didn't talk at them. I didn't educate them. I shared with them how we need to cry in each kina for the Beis HaMikdash. We connected on us on a level of our neshamas that the people in that room became some of the people who I became closest with over the course of my yearly internship at that shul. Because we cried together. Because we yearned together. We didn't think together. We lived the Chorban together. And we yearned for Geula together. With all due respect, I think that's what we need to be doing on Tisha B'Av. And with all due respect, that's what he's saying we need to be doing during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days, with increasing intensity to Tisha B'Av itself, the apex of that intensity. Because that's what's going to bring the Geula. That's what's going to bring the Geula. So, again, everybody do your avoda in their own way. I don't want to insult anybody. Everybody's got their own avoda, but I that doesn't relate to me, so kacha. Anyway. Glamour shmashmut havelut yachikokut vahishtokekut vahishtabchut hanefesh. Again, that this concept of avelus is that this is avelus of a desire and a pouring out of the soul. The alderach ma'amara katuv, as the pasuk says, mizmor le David beyotom bamidbar Yehuda samalacha nafshi kamalacha besari. That as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Mizmor David, when he was in Midbar Yehuda, he said, Samalacha nafshi, my soul yearns for you. My whole body wants to connect with you. Kashiraya David Midbar Yehuda, when David was running away in Midbar Yehuda, Rachum Yad Midash, he was far away from the Beis HaMikdash. He was running away, he was far away from the Beis HaMikdash. Lo hayalo et ha'or elokut she'ir Beis HaMikdash. There the Beis HaMikdash is still rebuilt. But he was in personal exile. He had to run away from Yerushalayim. He had to run away from the Beis HaMikdash. And when he was away, he was missing that Or Elokut that we all need. He yearned for it. She'av az kol chayuto. Kol chayuto mitzamalacha nafshi kamalacha besari. Because I think he's saying Av the month, that the month of Av, its whole reality is tzamalacha nafshi. My soul is thirsty for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough. Never be content. Never be complacent. It's not enough. I demand more. I demand more in this world, and therefore I demand more for myself. I demand more yearning. I demand more of a yearning for the Beis HaMikdash and for Geula. Kamalacha Besari. And that's the reality of the avelus and the crying of Klal Yisrael for the Chorban Abayit. This desire, this yearning for the revelation that's going to come when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Hayabit habayit bivinyano, hayitasham bechol eight bechinat ma'amar har Sinai bedargat hanivua lemalamize. He says Rabbeinu Yonah, that when the Beis HaMikdash was built, there was a reality, there was an aspect of reality that it was cool the entire time. It was all like Har Sinai on the level of nivua, and is even higher than that. Meaning, because what was Har Sinai? Har Sinai be connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he showed us how to connect him through his Torah. But the Beit HaMikdash, that's where we mamish, are living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We have the Shulchan like the we have the Shulchan and the Lechem like the kitchen. We have the menorah like the lights. We have the Mizbeach Achitzon, which is like the kitchen. We have the whole thing, and we have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the bedroom of the Beis HaMikdash. In Divrei HaYamim, it's called the Cheder HaMitzot, the bedroom, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're missing that union, that unification, that oneness, that intimacy with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that only exists when there's a Beis HaMikdash. If we don't yearn for that, there's a problem. If a person goes and they have to go on a business trip, or they have to go on a personal trip, whatever it is, and they have to leave their spouse behind, and they go away for a few days, they go away for a couple of weeks, if they're complacent, being distant from their spouse, there's something wrong. Just because the person is being faithful, and just because the person knows that there will one day be a time where they reunite, and just because they know that they can still call them on the phone, and just because they know that they can even upgrade and speak to them on FaceTime or on Zoom or on whatever, if that's enough, if there's complacency there, that's not a marriage. I'm not saying the person needs to sit every night and cry in their bed because they're 100 miles or 1,000 miles or 6,000 miles away. But there's something lacking if that person doesn't feel a lack of completion, a lack of shlemus, a lack of wholeness because they're not with their spouse, because they're not living under the same roof. There's something wrong. There's something missing. There's something unnatural. Even if I still feel connected, it's not normal. And if it becomes normal, it's a problem. We've been away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu so long, and talking to him on the phone called tefillah from the phone booth. Those were things that existed back in the day. Right? Watch an old Superman cartoon. Right? We're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the phone from the phone booth called the Beit Knesset in Galus for so long that we forget that it's not enough. But it's not enough. It doesn't matter how glorious the base Knesset is. It doesn't matter if it's Esh Kodesh in the five tens. It doesn't matter if it's Nushar Yashav in Far Rockaway. It doesn't matter if it's it doesn't matter what kolel it is, what base medrash it is, wherever you are. It doesn't matter if it's base medrash Nachal Nachshon next to my house. It's not the base Hamikdash. We're still lacking the base Hamikdash. We're still only talking by phone. And if we really have kavana, maybe by FaceTime. But it's not the same as living in the bedroom of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It lacks the closeness, the connectivity, the intimacy of the Beis Hamikdash. And we've been away for so long that we forget, but then we need to cry that we've forgotten. And those tears begin to pave the way back. Umuvan shuvam et Yirmiyahu. And what does the answer of Yirmiyahu mean? Sheino yachol laspir pshar b'chiyato ki lo yavin. And that's what Yirmiyahu is saying to this non-Jewish philosopher. He's saying, I can't explain to you. You can't understand what I'm talking about. Shadargah shol shlito gekut leoroi parach. To yearn for the light of godliness. Ein goy misugal lavin lo lasig. A non-Jew can't understand what you're talking about. An intellectual is not going to understand what you're talking about. But a Jew understands. A Jew understands what it means to yearn for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've all had moments where we felt that closeness. I'm pretty confident that everybody here has been to Eretz Yisrael and felt that closeness of what it means to be Eretz Yisrael. We've all been there. We've all cried at the Kotel. We've all, I think everybody here has had a Shana Aleph. I think some people here have had a Shana Bet. I know people here have come and visited. To feel, to yearn, to cry that I'm missing it, and to cry that I've forgotten how much I need to miss it, that I've become complacent in the distance, that it's good enough. It's not good enough. So if we can get at least one more paragraph. Maybe the whole piece. Let's see. Next paragraph. We're at the bottom of the second page. Bottom of the first paragraph in the second page. V'yesh lo sif pazeh, we can add on to this. Od al derech ma'amar marana ha-ramach zatzal. The Ramach says, Shamar la pasuk, v'atir'ehu v'inei na'ar boche, v'atomer miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. That when Bat Paro goes out and she hears this cry coming from the river, she hears Moshe Rabbeinu crying out. Vatir'ehu, she sees him. V'inei nar boche, and there's this child that's crying. Vatomer miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh, must be one of the children of the Jews. So what does it mean? Hear the depth of it. Shemi bichiato, it was through his cry, through the cry of a Jewish baby, through the cry of a Jew. The cry of a Jew is unlike the cry of anybody else. By hearing the cry of a Jew, she knew that was a Jew. Without any suffix, she knew it was a Jew. Because, hear this, feel this. Because when she saw even baby Moshe, when she saw Moshe crying, and she heard that cry, she felt in her gut, it was a cry of hope. That's how a Jew cries. It was a cry of hope. V'lo b'chiya shel yeyush. And not a cry of giving up. That's the cry of a Jew. She heard a cry that was coming from a depth of hope. And she knew that's the cry of a Jew. V'tomer, v'tomar miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. And she said, this must be a Jew. Zoi b'chiya yudit, this is a Jewish cry. A Jewish cry is a cry of hope. I'm in pain, and I miss what I'm lacking, and I feel that yearning, and I'm crying. But the cry that I have is not a cry of despair. It's a cry of yearning. It's a cry because I know it can come back. Why isn't it here yet? What will it take? How could I not have achieved it yet? How can we make this happen? That's the cry of a Jew. Masha'in kin goy shvichato shel yeush bifchinat shivron zeh hi mitatan. Top of the next column. Meaning like not, this is not a Jew of where a person is broken, because that's the death of a person. A cry, and we know this in the Alina, we see so many people in our day and age. You see a person, you see people cry out of despair. Cry because they give up. It's a cry of death. That's what he says, it's a cry of death. When you're crying because you give up, inside, you're emotionally, you're spiritually dead.
The cry of a Jew is not to cry because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. We're crying because it's not yet rebuilt. And we need to feel that difference. We're not crying over what isn't. We're crying about what we have yet to achieve that we desperately want back. Because we know it can and should be back. And therefore I cry because I have not been a part. I have not successfully created a reality where that's come back yet. That's the cry of a Jew. That's the cry of the 3 weeks. That's the cry of the 9 days. That's the cry of Tisha B'Av. Umitam zeh.
Like we saw, you saw so many people in the times of the Shoah, in the times of the Holocaust, that even no matter what they went through, they walked with their chins up into the gas chambers in defiance, knowing that they were giving up their lives in this world l'shem shamayim, but knowing that there was something more important, something worth giving. There was no cry of despair. There was a sense of understanding. There was a feeling of the reality that this is part of life, which is not yet ending, which is going on, which is moving on to the next phase, that I'm dying al Kiddush Hashem. And if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, I go saying Shema Yisrael. I go looking my killer dead in the eye, because you can't break my spirit, because Jews know, I'm always yearning for what's to come next. This isn't the end. I'm not complacent. I'm not in despair. I'm not giving up. A Jew sees the lacking, sees what's missing in the world, and cries to make sure that we get to where we need to get to. The kasher yudi bochel achorban bit hamikdash. When a Jew cries for the chorban of the Beis HaMikdash, hareze bichiyash al tikva. Again, this is a cry of hope. Shemirov ga'aguav utshukato leBeit HaMikdash uBocheh. That it's out of that yearning, out of that desire for the Beit HaMikdash, that's where the cry is coming from. V'zeu she'amar lo Yirmiyahu she'eino yachol la'va'er lo p'shar b'chiyoto. And that's what Yirmiyahu said to the philosopher, I can't explain to you my cries. Kivan she'ata goy, v'goy lo mesugal la'avin b'chiyah shel tikva. Because you don't understand what it means to cry out of hope. You don't understand where I'm coming from. You don't understand what it means to be a Jew and to know with certainty, To know in the depth of my being that while I cry out of pain and sadness, it's only because I know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't understand why we're not there yet. That's the only reason that I cry. And you don't understand what a cry like that is. You don't understand what that means. We don't have commemorations. We don't have ceremonies in Judaism. We don't have symbolic gestures in Judaism. I am lacking. We are lacking. And I'm tapping into that lacking to cry and yearn for that which should be right now, Bezrat Hashem. That's a Jew. That's the cry of a Jew. It's the Chabech Yai Rak B'toy Shel Yehushu Mimela Atashu'el She'in Ra'ui L'Chacham Livchot Al Ha'avar. Because your cry is a cry of despair. So you ask, why? What's the point of crying on the past? Aval Etzli HaBech Yai Shel Tikva. But my cry is a cry of Tikva. My cry is a cry of yearning and desire for that which is going to be. We don't cry about the past. We cry over the pain of the present of what should already be right now. That's the cry of a Jew. That's a meaningful 3 weeks. That's something I can tap into. I can't remember what the Beit HaMikdash was like because I wasn't there. I can't remember what it was like to have that interview with the Kadosh Baruch Hu because I never had it. But I can cry that I don't have it because I know that if I worked harder, I could already have it. And if I work harder right now, I can already have it. And I cry that I'm not there yet. We cry for the future. We cry for the present. We don't cry over the past. And that's what it means. Shemutar livkot b'Shabbat, kivan shebichiyash sheyudi einat sar al ha'avar. It's ela gaogim v'tikva la'atid. And that's why it seems that there's an opinion. Generally speaking, you're not supposed to be sad on Shabbos. The opinion that says that you're allowed to cry on Shabbos, he says the way that one can even say that you can cry on Shabbos is because you're not crying out of sadness for the past, but because you're crying out of hope of what's going to be in the future. A few more minutes to finish out the piece. We good?
Yeah? Okay, the only people with the screens are nodding, so I'm taking that as a yes. Let's finish off the last paragraph. Okay. Ula'or ze, yesh la'avin ha'inyan she beit hamikdash... Well, the orze yesh lavin. Well, we're going to go deep. You went for more paragraph. We're going deep. So he says, the orze. Based on this, we can understand the concept that if you take the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, even though there are 4 letters, and therefore there are 16 permutations, because there are 2 hays, there's really only 12 permutations of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's exactly 12 permutations of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. And it's brought down that those 12 permutations of Yud Kei Vav Kei, each permutation is connected a different month. The same way each month is a new reality, is a new essence, brings out a whole new reality into the world. Nisan and Geula is not like, again, you know, Sivan and Matan Torah. The months in their essence are different. That's because they're all stemming from a pini star. They're all stemming from a different name, a different seruf, a different what was the word we just used? A different permutation of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shen keneged Yud Bet Chodashim. Each one of the permutations of Yud Kei Vav Kei is keneged a different chodesh, a different month. Hatseruf shel chodesh Av. The seruf, the organization of Yud Kei Vav Kei that's keneged Yud Chodesh Av. It's Rosh Yitivot for the following words: Hasachta v'shama Yisrael Hayom. Hayom azeh niyete la'am. Shalom. Shelech ora harezes stira linyan shal chodesh av. Meaning, why would that be the Rosh Yitivos for chodesh av? Why would that be Rosh Yitivos? That here Yisrael, that this day you became a nation. It seems to be the opposite. We davka fell apart in av. So why is that what the month is about? Harezes stira linyano shal chodesh av shebo necharav ha'am. That was when we fell apart. We were destroyed as a nation. But not if we understand Tisha B'Av itself is the day of Binyan. It's the day of rebuilding. The crying and the Avelus of Tisha B'Av. That's the beginning of the Binyan. That's what it is. It's not the day of mourning of the past. It's the mourning that lays the foundations of the yearning that brings forth the building of the future. Hey, Meolama Binyan, they're from a reality of rebuilding. And it's from those tears reform into the bricks of the Beis HaMikdash. It's this day, Davka Tisha B'Av, that we begin to become a people again. That we go and we rebuild. We rebuild to become a new Klal Yisrael, new Am Yisrael. Mevaar nami madita she Tisha B'Av nikra moed. That explains also why Chazal referred to Tisha B'Av as a moed. That it's called a holiday. Why is it called a moed? Sorry, that the Pesukim called a moed. As it says in Eicha, Karai loy moed. Uveohed Yisrael, the Ov Yisrael says, Mevi midrash, Shelo hayam yom moed li Yisrael ki yom shenechav et hamikdash. The Ov Yisrael says, he brings a medrash that says, there's no moed for Klal Yisrael like the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki yom zehu yisod ha-yisodot lebinyan Beit HaMikdash lebinyan Am Yisrael. Because Tisha B'Av, the yearning and the crying Tisha B'Av, that's the foundation of the new Klal Yisrael. That's the foundation of the new Beis HaMikdash. That's the moed of Tisha B'Av. Ki avelut hayom hazeh hitzmicha u'mamshicha ta'geula. It's from the avelus and the crying and the yearning of that day that sprouts forth and draws out the geula. U'v'gidush haslevi ita la'pasuk, and the Gidush Levi says on the pasuk, b'chol tivke balayla, b'dimata lechaya, that we mamish cry on that night, and there's tears flowing down. V'zeh l'shono, ki k'she'adam, this is what the Kedushas Levi says, k'she'adam pu'el v'chiyato, azay ad ma'ot shlo oser roshen. When a person, mamish brings out the cry, when their mamish, the tears fall from their face, that makes an impact, that leaves an impression. U'v'emes k'she'adam bo'che'al ha'chorban, azay oser roshen v'chiyotav. And when a person cries for the Beis HaMikdash, those tears leave an impression, they leave a roshem in this world. V'zehu v'dimata lechaya hadmot oser roshem l'mala. That mamish, our tears are impacting. They're leaving a roshem, an impact, an impression on high. V'hainu sh'al yidei, she'ein zeh k'stam b'chiyah. This isn't just a stam cry. We're not just crying because lo aleinu, we lost the Beis HaMikdash. Sh'lo notari menu me'umah. Acharkach, ela dimata shelechiya zo nishar kiyam upel roshem. It's a cry which mamish leaves an impact up above. V'ugam kein mashe nechtav shabichiya ubeis hamikdash einu bichiya shel chorban. Again, that the cry for the beis hamikdash is not a cry about the chorban. Ela bichiya shel binyan. It's a cry of rebuilding. Habuneu mamshichat binyan beit hamikdash haatid. That it's building the new beis hamikdash to come. We can explain that which it says in Chazal. Shebo bayom shecharav beit hamikdash nolad Menachem. That on the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Menachem was born. V'chein ita bechol shana b'tisha b'av. And it's brought down that every year on Tisha B'av, top of the next page, shachar chatzot hayom, after chatzos on Tisha B'av, matzchili notzeitz orol shemashiach. The sparks of Mashiach start to come out after chatzot on Tisha B'av. Why? It's still Tisha B'av. It's still the Chorban. The Chorban's still going. The fire is still raging. Shelech orei shlomar mashiach lidatol shemashiach davka liyom zeh. What's the meaning of, what's the connection of the birth of Mashiach coming out on Tisha B'av? Have it come out on Rosh Hashanah. Have it come out on Yom Kippur. Have it come out on any other day of the year. What is it coming out on Tisha B'av for? Ela kivan shebayom zemi orerim Yisrael et hatshucha legeula. That it's because on this day we arouse as Klal Yisrael, we arouse in ourselves this desire for geula, levinan beit hamikdash, of the rebuilding of the beit hamikdash. Val yideach histokekut hazot heim matzmichim et keren haYeshua. And it's through this yearning, it's through this desire, through this yearning, that's where geula sprouts from. That's where Yeshua sprouts from. Bezrat Hashem, we should be able to get into the 3 weeks, to really get into the 3 weeks, the 9 days, but to get into it right. Not to get into it by being depressed. Not to get into it by being sad. Not to get into it by being in despair. But to recognize this is the time of year. It's a very special time of year. My Rebbe, Rav Yoel, he always manages to always flip things on his head. And there was one time I went to his house during this time of year, and I was at his house on Leil Shabbos, a Friday night, and he asked everybody to give over a Torah, so I spoke about how, you know, it's a very sad and a very challenging time of year, and I spoke about my connection to it in that way, and I brought out a Torah from that side of it. And he spoke at the end, and he said at the end, and everybody spoke, he singled me out, he said at the end, he said, I have to disagree with what Rabbi said. He said, I actually really like this time of year. And you're sitting there going like, I know there's a chop here, but I have no idea where this is going. But there's always, he always manages to mamish turn it around. He says, this is one of my favorite times of year. It's the time of year, the rest of the year, nobody cares about Eretz Yisrael. Nobody cares about Yerushalayim. Nobody cares about the Chorban. Nobody cares about the Beis HaMikdash. At least for these 3 weeks, everybody's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. At least for these 3 weeks, everybody's talking about the Geula. At least for these 3 weeks, everybody's yearning to come back to Yerushalayim and see it rebuilt. That's all I want. So these 3 weeks are very special to me because everybody's starting to get into coming back to Yerushalayim and bringing Yerushalayim back. That's the Inyan here. We're not remembering the past. We're not commemorating the past. We're not in despair about the tragedies that befell us. We're digging deep to recognize the lacking that we have in the present and the yearning for what we want, because that should be our present. That should be our immediate future. Through that yearning, through those tears, bring that about. Bezrat Hashem, b'mehirah b'yameinu.